Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and happy Mother's Day to everyone. Hello to all our fabulous listeners out there, and thank you so much for joining Val and myself for today's Tweaking Your Vibrations Blog Talk Radio program, live from Louisiana and Tennessee, this May 10th, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Hey, today, everybody.
Hey, Val.
Hey, girl.
Happy Mother's Day.
Well, happy Mother's Day to you, darling.
Okay, everyone, our topic today is going to be on the twilight phenomenon. The twilight mania is kind of like a modern-day fairy tale where Edward and Bella, I guess, have been called star-crossed lovers like Romeo and Juliet. Yet, are they also twin flames? And that's what we're going to be looking at today. And we're also going to talk about where Stephanie Myers was when she first created this book. We'll be sharing more about that. So right now, let's look at the results of what this movie has manifested based on a dream that took place in Stephanie Myers' head on June 2nd, 2003. And Val, can you tell us a little bit about that and what that's about?
Yeah, you know, Angela, when we were coming up with, you know, talking about our first movie mania, we'll have some other movie reviews throughout the year. But we were start talking about the movies, and because this was such a phenomenon following of this movie that was, like, at first slated to be just a small indie, you know, small feature movie, has skyrocketed. It has exploded in... and unfolded in other genres, the music industry and the fan sites, and just it's like a creative explosion that took people by surprise, by storm. They had no idea, just based on what I've read, and they just didn't have any idea this was going to explode the way it did. The actors or the Summit Entertainment had no idea. So I just kind of gathered some information to kind of take a look at that. And prior to the opening, there was an article put out by Brooke Barnes, and I'm going to share these article links in our chat room. I don't know if they'll actually you'll be able to see them after this show. Prior to the movie, though, you know, Paramount had passed on this in 2006. They just kind of released the rights to it. They didn't really have any vision of it going anywhere. Just surmised. Yeah, isn't that funny? Yeah, isn't that interesting? So when they passed on it, there was a man named Mr. Friedman. Brooke Barnes wrote this article for the New York Times, and that's where I found some of this information. Mr. Friedman, who heard about it, and Eric Feig, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, he was a Summit's production chief. He had done some research and noticed the intense following online even before the book had yet reached, a big status. So he kind of pounced on it, which is a great visionary kind of connection. You talk about law of attraction, you know, seeing it, that it could be a potential franchise. So they ended up buying all the movie rights to all four books. And at that time, it sold about $8 million, and now, from some of the research, it has sold over 40 million copies of the books, of the Twilight Saga. There's four in the series. And I think everybody pretty much knows it. You know, Angela and I were also discussing about, it's probably been talked about and talked about and talked about the movie and picked apart. So we were just going to kind of give some trivia facts to expand on how this movie has touched lives outside just the realm of making a movie and the actors that it invoked. It just literally has touched people from Twitter to YouTube to the fan sites. I mean, there's just all this creativity being manifested based on these two characters. and the other characters that, you know, people connect to.
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
Yeah, and it really has. It really has.
So, you know, it's not
really
go ahead.
Say that again.
I
can't believe that it has blown up to what it has blown up to. I mean, you know, movies come out and, you know, they're popular. And, of course, I'm pretty sure there are some other movies that have had a lot of following. But this one just seems to have really taken off really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, Titanic had a resounding. I mean, Titanic and Batman. I mean, there are some, you know, people that went kind of nuts over that. But the production of those movies had a bigger budget. I mean, this one had such a small budget to work with. And the studio at the time, previous to it coming out, they really thought it wasn't going to have anywhere but about $30 million in sales. They just didn't expect a whole lot. You know, they just weren't going to put it out. But, oh, my gosh, the first weekend that it came out, it ended up grossing $60 million in sales. And $69 million. It took over the weekend. It put the movie, it put Summit Entertainment in the spotlight because of that. And they had just a small budget, so they definitely did really well, I believe. It played in a lot of theaters. Lisa LaMotta at the link that I'm going to share also, she wrote about the after effects of how this came out, and it was from the Forbes magazine, and she just talked about how it really put Summit in the spotlight. You know, there, I just feel like law of attraction was working, how, you know, Stephenie Meyer had this dream, she put the book out, she attracted the perfect editor, she attracted the perfect publisher. The book came out, people were reading it, and yet there was that alchemy of working with a book and a movie that took off. I mean, everybody was reading that book prior to this movie. Everywhere I went, I heard about this book.
Oh, so did I.
You know, from people that don't even read, and I thought, wow, this is really, really interesting. And I didn't pick it up until my daughter, my 12-year-old, got really excited with some of her friends. I didn't really even pay much attention. I thought, okay, that's great. The theme sounds interesting, and, you know, I'll go take a look. And I just didn't pick up the book until she had gone to the movies, watched the movie, and her energy at coming out of the movie theaters, we are going right now to the bookstore to get these books. I was like, whoa, okay. Merry Christmas early.
It's not a question. She's not asking. It's like, no, we're going.
Yeah. I thought she's never really had that kind of excitement about reading books. And I thought, well, okay, let's go, sister, you know, because I can have you read a book. So I was just enthralled. And then I started reading them, and I could not put them down. And everyone that I've talked to, it's like illogical. There's no logical reasoning to this, but people.
Well, you got me started with it because I had heard about it before, and I was I take my kids to the bookstore. We would go just about every Saturday, and I heard people talking about it, and I ran across the books, but I never wanted to pick it up. And you and I were talking, and you were like, "You have to get the book." And I swear, this has never happened to me before, and I'm not exaggerating. When I read the first page, I was hooked. And that never happens. It usually takes me about the third or fourth chapter to really start getting interested in what I'm reading. But this book caught me from the first page. And I finished all the whole series within a month and a half.
Oh, very cool. That you know, I was like weekly reading these. Like, you know, finishing them up. Read them late at night. I mean, I was like losing a little bit of sleep. I just had to know. It's like, I got to get some sleep or I've got to do other things. But there was like, had this questioning, like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
So I was, you know, I had read the book, of course, before I had gone to the movie. And a lot of times, you know, it is a challenge, I think, to translate what is in a book onto the screen.
Yeah.
And, you know, how to combine so much of the storyline in 2 hours so that people are interested, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that not realizing the phenomenon that was going to happen with this, you know, movie, that, you know, the movie was made, and wow, I'm looking forward to seeing what Summit does with the other series of them. You know, now that they've seen the response to this movie, but sharing about the director or the directors, you know, Catherine Hardwick was the director on here. She is actually up for an award. She'll be recognized with the Dorothy Arzner, forgiveness for if I'm pronouncing that wrong, Director's Award. She had directed the film 13. I saw that. That's a very gritty movie, and I think it's powerful about how girls can get caught into things before they even know it.
Mm-hmm.
The Nativity Story and Lords of Dogtown. This movie has now, based on just some of the, it grossed over $360 million worldwide. It made it the seventh highest grossing U.S. film of 2008. So kudos to Catherine.
Yes.
For you know, coming on board and making, you know, help directing this movie, because I love when females can put out, go with their creative gut and manifest something, and then the response like this shows up.
I was just about to say that, because, you know, it's showing, you know, the creativity in women and the talent and what they have to offer. And I think it's amazing. And, you know, for so long, it's been kind of like men have ruled that area. And to finally see the women coming out.
Yeah, and I think that what was interesting in reading some of this was, you know, there is this thing about men's energy, and, you know, they can put the big projects out, and how that perception's been kind of projected out there. And yet women in the marketplace are the highest buyers in
mm-hmm.
the marketplace. You know, they look at the commercials. There's so much stuff catered to women. You know, cater to their tastes and their needs, and we know that we are the biggest purchasers. Yet there's still that stigmatism that I think that should ought to break through the glass ceiling around, and that's in every industry, every creative industry, even in corporate world. I'm looking forward to and empower my kids to go through and not see genders. You know, gender
exactly.
plays.
It's not a man or a woman's world. It's our world together.
It's a people world, exactly. And so that's why I love recognizing when things like this show up, that women have played this way, so that it can give us a little bit of a more even playing field. And I really, really, towards the end of our call today, we're going to bring up a couple places that are out in the world right now, some links that share about ways that are for up-and-coming filmmakers and writers. It gives a chance for the talent to be out there in ways that I believe it was hard to, unless you lived in a certain town, you know,
mm-hmm.
That you could actually do that. So here's some fun facts that I thought would be kind of cool. And from this Multiply.com, it was reviews, they said Twilight became a huge worldwide phenomenon. Of course, we understood that. A strong core base of dedicated fans. Recognition of the books was, there's 350 fan sites all over the world. There's 14,000 online discussions within 123 communities. The film received over 8 million visits, the website, the film website, and most of them were between the ages of 13 and 24. It's the seventh most searched movie on IMDb Pro's Movie Meter, and star Robert Pattinson is number 5 on that star meter, ranking higher than Will Smith and Brad Pitt. By the way, somebody's birthday is coming up this week.
Yeah, Rob's on the 13th.
So happy birthday, Rob Pattinson. We may never meet you, but we wanted, since we were talking about Twilight today, we wanted to give you a shout-out. It's on the call, now you know.
Now you know.
There's going to be some fan sites that one of them I belong to, and I love getting the updates, so fun, because I'm kind of a closet drama actress, I think, so I love getting updates about all this stuff. One of them is TwilightMomsForums.com, TwilightMoms Forums, FORUMS.com. Another is TwilightersAnonymous.com, TwilightersAnonymous.com, and then TwilightLexicon.com, TwilightLexicon.com. I apologize in advance if anyone that's listening to this call didn't get posted on those. I would love to hear more about it. We were asking if there was anybody that wanted to come on and send us some information on our Gmail. So that was kind of some ones that came up, popped up. But there's about 21 top sites. Again, this movie phenomenon, 21 top sites about fan sites that you can go in there. Now, on to the music. Angela, mm-hmm. I love the soundtrack.
I love it, too. I have
so,
it, and I love it.
I listen to it all the time. There's great energy. There's nothing else I can say. There's like fantastic energy.
There is.
And you know, I just love it. So one of my favorite songs in the whole world is Decode by Paramore. Now Paramore lives in my state in Franklin, Tennessee, and I love the fact that she read the book. The artist read the books, and she loved them. Started tracking them, or starting connecting, making connections, because she wanted to be in the movie. And the last song made by Paramore was on the ending credits. But she has a fantastic video with Decode, and it was streamed over 2 million times on Stephenie Meyer's site, the author of Twilight, the Twilight Saga books, and 1.3 million times on her MySpace, on Paramore's MySpace. Whoa. The single was shipped to radios on October 6th and was already 1.6 million in audience at Alternative Rock. And then on October 10th of last year, they were approaching top 40 with 3 days at the radio. It was the second most added track on modern rock radio.
That is awesome. I love
it. And I think Kaylee did an interview with Robert Pattinson. I believe it was really cute. They were sitting back and talking about stuff, and it was really a cute interview video. And I believe that's on the YouTube or MTV where they did it. And you could probably look that up, but I thought that was really cool. So, love. Shout out to Paramore, because I love their music. And they had another song in the movie as well. I think it was If I Catch Myself, or I Catch Myself. Shame on me for not knowing that name.
Yeah,
but,
just because you said that, I can't remember what it is either.
I Caught Myself. I think it was I Caught Myself, If I Caught Myself. So, I'll have to... Dude, I was just so focused on Decode that I just realized that I caught myself. And it was cute. It's in the scene where the girls are in the getting their dresses, their prom dresses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of playing in the background. My daughter, Gabby, loves that song. So she was like, Mom, there's another song, too. But because Decode has such a video following, I just kind of focused on that one. Anyway, they also... have the leads in the most nominations with the MTV Movie Awards. That's going to air May 31st.
Reading about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's really cool that, once again, you know, the phenomenon. Nobody knows this little movie was going to just explode. It's kind of like, you know, when My Fat Greek Wedding, is that the right
Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yes, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. That movie was kind of a home labor and love, and that exploded a little bit. I don't think as much phenomenon with this one, but it was kind of the same thing about law of attraction. They desired it. They hooked up. They, you know, people came to them, and that movie brought a lot of attention. I love that movie. It's a great love affair, you know, partnership, and one of my top 10 loves about how, you know, that you desire and you dream to be something bigger, and you never know what's around the corner, who's watching. So,
right.
I loved how her dreams came true, you know, and how she met the perfect man. I just thought that was so cool. Okay, well, just speaking about Stephanie Meyer, since she's the author of this movie, what I loved about reading a little bit about what her thing, her situation was, 40 million of these of her books have been sold as of May 2009. 37 countries have translated this these books. And I was checking out the bio, and it's kind of cool because she wrote this back in 2003 from a dream. A little dream, you know, unfolded all this manifestation. And she woke up, she read it, she just started talking about it, and the difficulties of the characters. And so not only did she start continue to write this amidst of being a mother of two young kids, the name of Isabella, and I'm sure other people have heard this too, is based on a name she was going to give a daughter if she had a daughter. So I thought, wow, you know, her baby creation author, as an author to a child, she names a name, you know, gives a character, the main, one of the main characters, the same name she was going to give a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think some of the after effects of this movie, I just really believe that there's no accident. You know, how she was so connected.
Mm-hmm.
Not only to the characters in writing it, but also how, you know, one of the main characters ended up with that name.
Well, that is that book, that series, the story is her baby.
Yeah, exactly.
It is her baby. So, you know, she got to watch, she got to create her, and you know, and watch her baby blossom.
Yes, exactly. Love it, love it, love it. So right now we're going to kind of get into a little bit. We're definitely going to, you know, thanks for hanging in there with us on these little trivia stats. We're going to go move into our juicy commentary about the movie itself. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Angela's going to talk about with us is the twin flame theory. So, Angela, take it away, dear.
Yeah. When I first started reading this book, immediately, because I've already knew a little bit about twin flames, and to let you know what a twin flame is, or to get you kind of understanding, maybe, you know, some of you who are listening don't quite know what that is. A lot of people say soulmate when they meet someone, but a soulmate can be your we have many of them, and they can be your child, your son, your daughter, your mother, a stranger you meet for 5 minutes, or someone that's in your lifetime for 5 years. And there's a website that you can go to. There's more than one, but this one in particular, it's called star.goddess.tripod.com. /twinflame2.html, and they talk about what a twin flame is here, and what happened is that there was a division of the soul that took place an unimaginable amount of time ago. It's like separating a magnet into separate pieces, and each piece would be predominantly one polarity or the other, but a residual amount of its opposite essence would always be present within itself. So it is with the divided twin, or that divided soul that was once one. It was the one male, female. You had both aspects of male and female in that one soul. And the masculine half has always retained some of the original feminine energy, that the soul first possessed while with the feminine, and vice versa, same thing for the feminine half. And since that time, we have roamed around in this incomplete state of being experienced life after life, after relationship after relationship, until we decided that we've had enough and we want something more fulfilling. And I think this is one of the reasons why I feel this book has caught a lot of people's attention, because people are starting to pay attention to that. Maybe not consciously, maybe subconsciously, but I think this is what it's bringing out. But in order for you to be able to be united with your twin, you have to balance your masculine and feminine essence within themselves, within you, and then you bring that energy back to each other as a complete whole. So the whole dynamic of Edward and Bella, I mean, Edward is a vampire, Bella is human. They're drawn to each other. It doesn't make sense, but they are. You know, and there you go. And it doesn't have to make sense. And I think that for so long, men and women have run away from what feels good and what feels right. We get in our head and we start thinking, overthinking things, and, you know, well, this doesn't make sense. Well, their love didn't make sense either. But they understood, or they knew that they couldn't be without the other. And so their love for each other, they gave into it, and it was stronger than what appears to make sense on the outside. And the same thing with the wolves imprinting on someone. It's the same thing. Once they imprint on someone, then it's all over. It's done. They know what their other half is, and you can't get away from that. When you're ready for it, you can't get away from it. And that's the twin flame theme that I see in this book that is very predominant. And I think that a lot of us are having this information channeled to us. We just don't know it. It's kind of being siphoned in, you know, in order for us to get to pay attention. Whatever the attention, whatever process or whatever you have to use to get someone's attention, even if it's for, you know, just a split second, it gets you thinking. So I think that's what this book is for a lot of people. And at that website, there are a lot of descriptions on how you would know if you met your twin here.
Yes.
And it gives a little bit more detail about that there.
Thanks for bringing it in. You know, one of the things that I thought was really cool about the overall movie was interesting was I kind of watched it. I watched it like after I read the book, and I thought I was really kind of probably a little bit more critical the first time around. And then I watched it when I was auditing, kind of auditing it like with a new pair of eyes for our conversation today. And I was kind of thinking about how Edward got a chance to relive being a teenager because of Bella.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't get that chance. He was in a different time frame, and yet he was experiencing jealousy with the other guys at high school, the denial of loving her. At first, he didn't want to admit that he even had any feelings for her. He had always prided himself on being in such control, and she just knocked him over the head like a wrecking ball.
Yeah.
I think that.
Yeah, and he didn't like it.
And at first he didn't like it at all. His family was like, "What the heck? You're going to expose us for everything?" After he saved her, there was just this dance between them that they could finish each other's sentence. And I think it was interesting about, you know, the mom character at the end. You know, she kind of saw how they moved together, you know, how they were just, one would shift and the other would kind of right itself, and that was an interesting place. I wish they had kept the extended scenes in. I think the extended scenes had some really neat information, and I know it's hard to cut a movie down. The extended scenes, though, were kind of neat, especially around looking at how this family, even though they appeared to be so dark, they really wanted to be, they wanted to triumph over their darkness. I thought that was a really interesting note, and how Bella picked that up. Like, she wasn't afraid because she saw the goodness beyond the darkness, whereas everyone else you know, just kind of unconsciously was afraid, she wasn't afraid. She just stepped into that place because she got to see beyond the appearance. And so I thought that was really powerful that, you know, this doctor, Carlisle, even if he was had, you know, made and created these other character creatures, how he just set the standard a little bit higher. So I thought that was great, and that she got she connected to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I thought that was fantastic, and I also loved that the fact that she was willing to become the same thing because of their goodness. It was almost like she said, well, you know, even if I transform into this, you're not going to let me go to the dark side. You're going to protect me. And she had such honor about, you know, in that, but she was just not going to give it up.
No,
you know,
she
just not going to.
She knew her heart was speaking, you know, truth.
Oh, yeah, I loved that. I loved that part about it. So that was really cool. And then I also loved about, you know, how he listened to her needs and her wants. I mean, even from the very get-go, he called her Bella instead of Isabella.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even from the get-go, and how he just wanted to protect her. And it was so funny because she grew up not protected in a way. Not because her mother was a bad mother, according to the characters, but just her mother just was, you know, was not a protective. She wasn't a protective. Exactly. And so I just thought that was really cool that he kind of stepped in to that role model for her.
Mm-hmm. Which was hard for her.
Yeah.
To let go, you know, and to let someone, you know, she didn't like being told what to do. I mean, she was usually the one given the advice and taking the front seat to everything.
That was really cool that he just kind of protected her. And I think that whole thing, I believe that in our world there's just some, you know, the equality between men and women I'd love to see more and more, yet at the same time there are some basic desires that kind of have fallen on the way, by the wayside, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That whole love and protection, and so it's not like we need protection or we need to be safe, but there's just a caring and that intuitive sense about caring that just seems like it's just not as obvious in relationships these days.
Yeah.
You know, that we're really playing with that whole part of us. So I'm glad to see that in here. And it just really hit my 18-year-old heart. I mean,
yeah.
I think that's why I was like, oh my gosh, a great love. I mean, I remember feeling intense feelings at that age and intense crushes about that stuff. And, you know, some of them were unrequited and some of them weren't, but oh my gosh, I think that's what it triggered in me. You know, you wonder, that probably doesn't ever go away.
No, it really doesn't.
First loves are great.
Back
loves.
To my high school times too, so.
Oh, yeah. So I really loved the scenes, and I loved how she explained it, and I'm glad they introduced Jacob. Jacob was a great segue into looking at folklore and history and how that all connected. But also the other point that I was thinking about is the sacrifice people made. I mean, she was, you know, you didn't get to see what was in Midnight Sun, which was a manuscript based on Edward's thoughts, and because Ebola was the one that was always speaking throughout the movie. But there was this, what he thought from her character was about selflessness. You know, she put her mom's needs ahead of hers, and she went to Forks to live with her dad. Her dad was kind of confused. They had the same kind of personality, and yet she gave that up, and wow, had no idea that this was what was going to happen. She thought she'd be suffering in silence, so to speak.
Yeah.
If I go in there, and so she just opened a door. You know, how many times do we open doors when we make decisions for ourselves, you know, or make decisions for the highest good, in a sense? How many doors do we open? We don't think too much about it. We just call forth, and she kind of made that decision. I thought that was cool because she gained a family that actually loved her and, you know, loved him and just, you know, kind of took her on under their wings. And when she was going through all those dangers and stuff, you know, they wanted
right there
her,
beside her.
they were right there beside her. They wanted to protect her too, and so I thought that was interesting. Yes.
Unconditional. They loved her in spite of her being human.
Yeah. I thought it was funny about the scene when they were in the kitchen introducing, and you know,
oh,
she was afraid she was going to be eaten. I love the fact that, you know, in teenagers they do get embarrassed by their family, so it was funny that
Edward was beside himself. He's like, okay, yeah, you guys are weird. I'm just going to take over for a room now because I don't know who you people are.
Yes. I can remember in my kids, you know, my teenage kids, when they went through that, they did. It was like,
oh,
Mom, don't say anything to embarrass me if I'm going to bring somebody home.
Just stand right here and shut up.
Yeah.
Don't even look
so,
at me.
Yeah. So I just love that this love gave more to those, enhanced both of those lives in ways that they didn't think it would ever happen on their own. You know, both of them both of them were kind of on their own, just kind of were almost like they settled in a way for their allotment in life almost.
Yeah. Yep, they had gotten used to, you know, well, this is just going to be how it is, and let me just get used to it.
Yeah, and then boom, the alchemy.
Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Because when she wanted to confront him, she was waiting the next day to confront him in the parking lot. She was like, you know, I was waiting for him because I was going to ask him what his problem was.
Yeah, she was feisty.
You know,
how
dare you, you know, you treat me like this.
Exactly. So I really liked that part. Yeah, I loved that part. So, you know, and then how they got together and how the family calmed down and how, you know, he moved through that. I'm really looking forward to New Moon. I mean, I'm glad it's going to segue into this and I'm the creative energies. And, you know, we've kind of run out of time on our basic line, I saw. And but, you know, there's two places that we can talk more about the love, the grand loves. You know, Angela and I were thinking about bringing the top 10 love affairs, loves of all movies, but we'll have to do that another time, Angela.
Yeah.
But, you know, in ending, there's a couple places that I wanted to share. One was the writer's market is a great place that even Stephanie used, and it's a great place to, I think they have fee-based memberships, but you can go and you can, you know, show your some public works there, and it's a cool place. I've heard a couple authors have great success with this old place. So I've heard it from a couple places. And then the other link I wanted to share was there is a link called TriggerStreet.com, TriggerStreet.com. And it was founded by Kevin Spacey and producer Dana Brunetti, I think it's Brunetti, as an interactive mechanism to discover and showcase emerging filmmaking and writing talent. And they're both on Twitter, and that's how I kind of came across that link. I love the fact that they've brought Hollywood out into the mainstream on the internet. I've loved the internet. I've been on here for so many years. I love how they're going to make the world smaller around filmmaking and writing and connections. And they're on Twitter, and you can, you know, get to know them and some of their little Twitters, and then you can go to that website. Again, TriggerStreet.com. They have an actual contest going on right now that you can take a look at. And it's like for an 8-minute film about, I think it's sacrifice or perfection, I'm not mistaken, and you can enter it, and you have to be over 21. But wow, what an idea that you can have a $50,000 ticket to write it like a small piece. You know, that didn't happen before now. So I love the fact that they're giving that opportunity to up and coming filmmaker and writers.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up. And our next call is going to be with we're going to have a guest. Her name is Michelle Brookhouse. She is a wonderful homeopathic practitioner. She's all about alternative remedies for everything, but particularly we're going to be talking about the swine flu and the thoughts around all the fears swirling about in regards to this virus and other germs. So you can read more about her work at beyondwell.com. That's beyondwell.com. And we would like to thank everyone for joining us today. We had a blast, although we went a little over.
We might need to start saying 45 minutes. I don't know, because we
we've gone over.
We're
going to have to do some more. We're going to have to
Think about that.
Yeah.
But thanks, everybody. Thanks. Shout out again to all the moms out there. Rob Pattison's birthday coming up. My daughter's birthday's this month, too. So at the end of this month and on our call towards the end, I'll be sending her a personal shout out. She's turning 20 this year. Woo! Oh, no, that's big. Angela, you are an amazing mom and a fantastic friend and a definite fun partnership in these Blog Talk Radio. So I hope you have a fantastic rest of the day.
I will, and I feel the same way. I have a lot of fun doing these shows, and I hope you have a fantastic Mother's Day. I know you got some things planned.
Yeah, they've been coming in.
I'm not having any company. I'm just going to be quiet for Mother's Day over here.
Awesome. Well, darling, wrapping it up, thanks for everybody for listening. We appreciate you as always, and we look forward to you all connecting with us next show. It'll be May 17th with Michelle Brookhouse. Thanks, everybody.
See you then. Bye-bye.